All right, so we are holding Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, fourth line of the wide lines. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah about the concept of Shivcha Charufa. We said that's one of the cases where a person has to bring a Korban Asham, and we said there's a number of key differences between that and most other Arayas. There's a number of key differences between that and most other Arayas. Among others, this one, you bring the Korban, whether it was B'Shogeg or B'Mezid. It's an asham, which is a male animal, rather than a chatas, which for most people is a female animal. Here, the man and the woman have different penalties. He brings a korban, she gets malchus. Also we said that by shivcha charufa, it has to be gmar bia, as opposed to all the other ones, hara is enough to make him chayev. And we said also that with most arayas, the person is chayev individually for each bia, whereas with shivcha harufa, he has one korban for many bias. Then we mentioned in the Mishnah, we asked what is the definition of Shivcha Charufa. So we had two opinions. We had Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Akiva, who says that it's Chetzi Shivcha B'Chetzi Bas Chodin, and Rabbi Shmuel says that it means a full-fledged Shivcha. Okay. So the first thing we talked about in the Gemara is that's what we're going to talk about in the Gemara. So first of all, we started talking in the Gemara how we know the one difference that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that only she gets Malkus and he doesn't. We said because we curd us teeth. Okay. So, Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braise, the fourth line of the wide lines. Bizman shor isha loika ha ish may be korban. Only when the woman is getting Malkus is the situation that the man brings a korban. Ein ha isha loika. However, if the situation is that the woman is not getting Malkus, for example, if it was B'Shogeg, for example, if she was a Tana, etc., Eino Ish may be Korban, then the man does not bring the Korban. So the two things are interdependent. It has to be that she was Mazed and is getting Malkus in order for him to bring the Korban. Minolon, so where do we know that from? Amar Rava, like this, just did. The Pasuk starts off like this. B'Ish ki yishka v'isha shikvas zera. A man has relations with a woman. Shikvas zera usually means the actual seminal fluid. We're going to explain in the Gemara later on what we're learning from those words. V'hi shivcha necharefes le'ish. She is a shivcha necharefes, which we're still going to describe later what the word charufa means. V'hofde lo nifdasa. She has not been redeemed. Oy chufsha lo nitan la. Or freedom has not been given to her. So now, the question is like this. Mechdi ad hocha ba'ish kamishtoikra. Now, up until this point, the Pasuk has focused on the action of the man. It started off, v'ishki yishka v'isha shifazera. Obviously, it takes two to tango, as they say, but the fact is it's written from the point of view of the man who lay with her, who had relations with her, and it describes what her situation is, that she's a shifcha nechrems. Nichta v'hevi et asham el Hashem. So the logical thing is, the next thing it should say is he should bring his asham.
And
then it should mention about the Bikurdus Tia. First, it should finish by describing what happened with him. He had relations with her, therefore he has to bring a korban. And then mention about the Bikurdus, about the Malkus. Right. Amai kosa rachmona b'reisha Bikurdus Tia l'vasov k'tiv v'hebi et Hashem el Hashem. Why instead does the Pasuk first mention the Bikurdus, which we said that she gets, and only then does it mention that he brings his Hashem? So therefore, hachi karma, this is what it means to say. Im Bikurdus Tia, he... If she is going to get a Bikurus, if she is going to get Malkus, then Behavi is Hashem El Hashem, only then does he bring his Asham. Vim loyti a Bikurus, but if there's no Bikurus, if she's not getting Malkus, lo yobi hu es Hashem, then he does not have to bring his Asham. That's what we're saying. The two things are interdependent. We're learning. If she gets Malkus, only when she gets Malkus is he bringing the Korban. That's what we're saying. Well, I don't know if it's before or after, but the point is, the two things are interdependent. For him to bring a Korban, it has to be that she's going to be getting Malkus. That's why the Pasuk puts it in that order. First talking about what he did, then switching to what she gets Malkus, and then resuming with what he does, bringing Asham, to teach us that those two things are interdependent. Okay. So the question is, Ema hu matekra. Okay, but maybe the Pasuk is mimayat him. That's fine. He doesn't get Malkus.
Yeah.
Right, well, obviously. Emo hu mate cross, and maybe you should say, okay, by the pasuk mentioning the Kodesh Tia, and we said Tia is feminine, so it means that only she gets the Malkus. So maybe, okay, the pasuk is telling us that he doesn't get Malkus. Avol hi tilki v'teisi korban. Maybe she has to do both. Maybe she gets Malkus and she has to bring the korban. Where do you see the miut that she doesn't bring the korban? The answer is vehebi, it's Hashem el Hashem. It says he brings the Hashem, not they bring the Hashem. So only he is bringing the carbon. So that's where we see that each one of them only gets one consequence. So it's only him. Yet. Okay. So that's what it is. Reasons behind this, by the way, I mean, the different Lefoshim on the Psukim offer different reasons why there should be that, that she gets Malkus and he brings the carbon. One interesting idea that's brought in the Sefer of Naim Matarda, is he says basically, look, we're going to describe soon in the Gemara. We have the different opinions. We have Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, and the Halacha is like him, that it refers to a Chetzi Shifcha v'Chetzi Basparda. So she's already half free. So what is she trying to do, apparently? She's trying to get involved with another man in order that this way, like, she can jump the gun. This way, he's more likely to pay for the other half of her freedom. So therefore, like, in a certain sense, we hold her more at fault because there's reason to assume maybe that she, Davka, got involved with him. Of course, no, neither one is allowed with each other. I mean, she's a chetzi shifcha v'chetzi basparin. The half of her is a shifcha. As a shifcha, she's also to have relations with a Ben Yisrael. And he, as a Ben Yisrael, was also to have relations with her. And the truth is that Rambam at least learns that it's not necessarily author on a deraita level. We wouldn't necessarily give him Malkus just for that beer, if it weren't for the fact that it's a shifcha, that it's a special case, actually even in the case of shifcha harufa, we're saying he doesn't get malchus. I mean, kedushin aren't tosis, but the Rambam learns that you don't necessarily give him malchus, you give him makas maudus for it. But the point is, in other words, that maudus maudus means malchus dirabon, basically, because he had relations with a shifcha which he wasn't supposed to. It means basically that they can give him malchus at their discretion to get him to do shuvah. Okay, anyway, the point is that so one idea of it is that maybe she started the thing in order like to jump the gun and then get herself freed faster. Another idea that one of the Mephoshim says that maybe it's Sfarina, I don't remember, says that it's practically speaking, she being a shifcha, she doesn't have any assets of her own, so she doesn't have a korban to bring. He, being a Ben Churden, has assets of his own, so therefore, instead of giving him Malkus, then he brings a Churden. Okay. Anyway. So Rabbi Yitzchak says that now he's only Chayev if she had relations. So now we're going to talk about what the word Charufa or Nechrefes means. So first of all, we should mention like this. We have in the Mishnah we only mentioned what her status is as far as shifchos. Oh, hello. That she's full shifcha or half shifcha or whatever. We haven't talked about her marital status. Now the word charufa, actually, you have a gemara in Kedushin that mentions that in Yehuda, in the area of Eretz Yisrael of Yehuda, they used to use the word charufa to mean Kedushin. And therefore, and the gemara says over there in Kedushin that if a man in Yehuda says to a woman, Hareat Charufa li, then it's a lashon of Kedushin. So Charufa because it's based on the pasuk, Vishukha Necharefes Lish. That was one of the terminologies that obviously they could also say Hareat Mekudeshes li, but they use the word Charufa. But the Gemara is going to explain over here that the word Charufa has another meaning. So Shivnem over Hishukha Necharefes Lish, Umay Mashma Dahai Necharefes Lishin Deshanuyehu. Where do you see the word Necharefes means that she's changed, which there's a change in a woman's body when she first has relations. Before she was a psula, and now she's not. Where do we see the word nechrefet represents that change? So dechtiv, because you have a pasuk in Shmuel, that tishtach olam harifos, describing a woman over there who's hiding out some messengers of David in a well, and she took a cloth and spread it out on top of the well, that tishtach olam harifos, and she spread out on top of the cloth rifos. Rifos are crushed grain. You take grain and you crush it to make like firefall or something out of it. So the word hori. Well, the point is she was doing that in order to hide them. Like this, when Absalom's soldiers come by to find out where David's messengers are, they see the well in her backyard, but they see that it's got a cloth on top of it and it's got grain apparently drying on it, so they didn't bother looking in there because they figured they didn't think it. David's messengers were in there. Okay, anyway, the point is that there were footholds or whatever. Yeah, there was like a ladder going down there or whatever. Yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is that the word horifos means crushed grain. So therefore, it's something that was changed because originally it was a whole knew that, hey, we find throughout Shas and throughout Divrei Chazal many, many times we darshin a hey and a chet interchangeably, because they sound very similar. By us Ashkenazim, they don't sound similar at all, but the proper way of pronouncing a chet gutturally sounds very much like a hey. So they've... Okay, the fact of the matter is that the way that the Sfardim pronounce it seems to be more like the way it was in the times, like the way it was originally, and a hey and a chet sound very similar in that way of talking. Mind you, by the way, I mean, I don't want to get too far off topic, but it's worth mentioning that in the times of the Maharil, for example, there were the Jews of some parts of Germany who pronounced the ches exactly like a hey. So like this, you know, we always think, you know, when we hear people, when we hear people say Hanukkah, for example, we think it's just, you know, they're ignorant, they don't know how to pronounce a ches. But the Jews of the Rhineland or whatever, 600-700 years ago, talked that way, and that was their normal way of talking. So we see a ches. Yeah, that was literally, yeah, they would pronounce a ches exactly like a hey. No, forget about the guttural like the Sfardim do. No, they would pronounce, just like a plain hey. They would say Hanukkah, and they would say, because the Madan, the Mahariel mentions it, other Rishonim of that period mention it. Yeah, okay, anyway. The point is, so this, that we pronounce it like a chof, that was a pronunciation among certain Ashkenazic Jews, and eventually it became universal among all Ashkenazim. Okay, anyway. The Sfardim pronounce it like a chof. Okay, no, whatever. The point is, it's still similar to a hey. The point being, in other words, that the word horifos can be related to the word charufa or necharefes, same Kurdish, therefore. So therefore, you see, just like rifos are changed from their original form by crushing and pounding them, so also this woman has been changed from her original status by having relations. Viboisema, or I have another pasuk that also mentions rifos. Imtichtosh ha'evil, es ha'evil, actually, is the way it says in the pasuk, v'machesh v'soch ha'rifos be'eli, even if you crush the evil, the fool, in a mortar among all of the crushed grain with a pestle, and pasuk finishes off, lo sotem olavi valte, his foolishness won't leave him. So you see, you know, like even if you take the fool, actually the Malbim particularly explains on the Pesukim throughout Mishlei, explains that an Evil is somebody who knows what's right and what's wrong, but he always tries to come up with excuses. He comes up with like I don't believe that this is really true. I have questions on it or whatever. But it's a type of foolishness. If he knows the truth, then he's coming up with specious arguments against it, saying that it doesn't make sense or whatever. So anyway, the point is, the pasuk is saying if you take such a person and crush him, you put him in a mortar with a bunch of crushed grain and start pounding on him with a pestle, it still won't change his mind. It still won't make him realize to do the right thing. So we see again the word harifos means crushed grain. So the same thing. It's related. So the point is, he's a stubborn guy. So the point is that the word necharefes again is related to harifos. Okay, so that's what necharefes therefore means, that she's had relations. And we're going to talk about soon, actually, that there's specific details. It does have to be, according to like Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, that she had relations. However, we're going to say also soon that she has to also be mu'ureses to somebody. We'll get that soon. Okay. Because again, in Yehuda, they use the word charufa to mean eros, and yeah. Okay. Okay. Meanwhile, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Ezra. So you have the whole story over there with Sefer Ezra, where there were some Jews at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash who had married Goyish women, and Ezra made a whole public to-do about it, and he got a whole public gathering together, and they got everybody to agree to get rid of their Goyish wives. So the pasuk says, "Vayitnu yadam lahoitzi, vayitnu yadam lahoitzi nesheihem." They all gave their hand, and they gave a handshake. That they're going to get rid of their Goyish wives. And the pasuk continues, "Vashemim eil tzayin al hashmasim," and all of them are guilty, and they have to bring a ram from the sheep for their asham. So what does that mean? Now, usually, when a Jewish man has relations with a goita, that doesn't require him to bring an asham. We have six kinds of ashamas that we say every day in davening, and none of them are for having relations with a goita. Therefore, the answer, "Amar of chistim alamach kolim shivches charufes balu." From here, we see that not only they had married goyish women, they had also all had relations with shivcha charufa, and therefore they were chayev in an asham. So that's what we're going to talk soon, what is exactly the definition of shivcha charufa. An interesting point, by the way, that Rebbe brings in a sticha, from the sefer of Shiloh Tshuvos of Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro famously came to the Rebbe's wedding. And the Rebbe describes there in the Sicha that he was the Rosh Hashiva, he was an important rabbi in Poland at the time. He was invited to the Rebbe's wedding. He was always, you know, all the years he'd been very close with the Friedrich Rebbe. So the Rebbe describes in the Sikha over there that the Friedrich Rebbe told him to told him the Rebbe to engage Reb Meir in discussion in halacha, and even though the Rebbe tended to shy away from such things, but you know the Friedrich Rebbe told him he had no choice. Anyway, they were discussing. There's a Rashi that mentions there's a Rashi on a pasuk in Vayikra that mentions a case where the tzibur brings an asham. And the famous question is that there's no such thing. All the ashamis that we mention in davening are all private asham brought by an individual. Where do you have an asham of the tzibur? So Reb Meir mentions in tshuva of his a discussion that his grandfather had on this and that his father had on this, based on the pasuk over here, that what it means is not that they each individually brought an asham, but rather that there was hayras shah, that they should all collectively bring one asham for having had relations with the Shifra Harufa. So that's the one time in history when you had an Osham of the Tzibur, in effect.
Where is it?
Mayor Shapiro mentions this in his Shiloh's Trovis.
No, which
based on the pasuk in Ezra that we just quoted. He goes on to say an interesting point also, that given we're going to say soon, we're talking about that also a Shifra Harufa involves an Eved Ivri somehow, that means it can only happen when the Yovel is Noyeg. Tosfos elsewhere, including in Erchin and other places, use it. Because that's how it is. We learned in Erchin that there's no Eved Ivri when there's no Yovel. So in fact, Tosfos in some places uses that as a proof that there was Yovel in the time of the second Mishnah. Otherwise, there's no Eved Ivri, and therefore there's no Shifcha Harufa. Rashi disagrees with that. So Rashi would say, therefore, that in principle they shouldn't have had to bring a korban at all, and it was Haras Shah by the Beis Din of Ezra that they should bring one collective Osham on behalf of all of them. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah, Ezu is Shifcha Chulo. So what is the definition of a Shifcha Harufa? So we had a Machloikas, we had Rabbi Yehuda, or in the Mishnah, or Rabbi Akiva, as we're going to say, holds that it means a Chetzi Shifcha Chetzi Vatzorin, and Rabbi Shmuel says it means a full Shifcha. By the way, among the Mephoshim on the Pasuk, you have the Eben Ezra uniquely says that it's talking about an Omar Hevriya, a Jewish maidservant. However, the Halacha is not like him, and even that he's not saying is according to Halacha, he's just saying the chapter of the Pasuk would seem to indicate that. Yeah, by the way, also the Mephoshim talk about a variety of possibilities, what Necharefes could mean, that it's a Meloshin, a young girl, like he took a young girl for a wife, or Meloshin, or Meloshin, whatever, a couple of different possibilities, what exactly Necharefes means, and what exactly Bikurdus means, whatever. Okay, anyway. Necharefes, actually another one that Amban, I think, says, that maybe the Eben Ezra, says Necharefes is also Meloshin Chiruf, like embarrassment, like, so to speak, she's not her own person, she's an Amma, so like, she's not up to her who she can marry, so that's like an embarrassment for her. Okay, anyway. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says v'hofdei, again, the Pasuk says v'hofdei lo niftasa, redeeming she was not redeemed, yachol kula, so you would think that means she wasn't redeemed at all. No, tamad loima lo niftasa. No, the Pasuk says she wasn't redeemed, implying that it wasn't complete. Yachol lo niftasa, so you think maybe v'hofdei lo niftasa. In the parasha, in the Pasuk, about Shifcha Harufa, it says v'hofdei lo niftasa. So v'hofdei, you would think, means she was completely redeemed. No, tamad loima lo niftasa, she wasn't redeemed. So maybe it means she wasn't. One second, you would think maybe it means she wasn't redeemed at all. No, tamad loima v'hofdei. But after all, the pasuk says redeemed. So it means. So what does it mean? Was she redeemed or was she not? Okay, that p'duria v'ena p'duria. So that means she was redeemed but not completely. Therefore, that's what it means. Chetzi shifcha v'chetzi baschorin. So she's half free, half slave. Which means one possibility is there's two owners and one of them freed her. The other possibility, according to Rebbe, it's possible to redeem half of an Eved Ivri from one owner. So according to Rebbe, she could have had one owner who freed half of her, who got, let's say, half the money for her and redeemed half of her. According to the Chachamim, who disagree with that, they would say it would mean that there were two owners and one of them freed her. Okay.
But also to force them to...
No, only for an Eved. Because for an Eved, then he can't get married. But for a Shifcha, there's no mitzvah on a woman to get married anyway. So, yeah. Okay. Fine. So it means that she's half free, half slave. And umu'uresas le'eved ivri. Furthermore, Rabbi Akiva says it also means that she's had erusin with an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri being the only person who at that point who could validly have relations with her, because an Eved can't because she's half Bachurin, a free Ben Yisrael can't because she's half Shifcha, only an Eved Ivri who, on the one hand, he's able to marry a regular Bach Yisrael, on the other hand, as an Eved Ivri, he's allowed to have relations with a Shifcha Tzmanis, so he's the only one. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, so that's what Rabbi Akiva says, that's the definition of Shifcha Harufa. Rabbi Shmuel Lomer, no, but Shifcha Knanis, Akasa Medaber. No, the Pasuk is talking about a full Shifcha Knanis, or more Refis L'Evadivri. Again, though, he does agree that we're talking about that she's Niskadish to an Evadivri, or strictly speaking, Tosfos is not really Niskadish. If she's a Shifcha, there's no such thing as Kiddushin, but it means, in other words, that she's reserved. You know, like there's an understanding between them that she's reserved for him. So Rabbi Shmuel says, what are you doing with the Hofde Lo Nifdasa, which implies that half and half. The answer is Dibra Torah, Koloshim Ne'adim. He says, as he often does throughout Shas, that no, the Torah just speaks using common terminology. The common way of speaking when the Torah was given was that people often expressed things like that using a double expression, just like you have in the Torah, Mois Yumas, Ochol Toichol, whatever. So the same way Hofde Lo Nifdasa is just a figure of speech, not meant to learn anything. Then we had in the Mishnah and in the Braiser, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had said like this, Kol arayas mefurashis lanu, all the arayas the Torah specifies that they all refer to regular bnois chorin, regular free Jewish women, meshuyer lanu, chetz yeshitfa, chetz yebas chorin. So now if the Pasuk is talking about a special kind of arayas and telling us that it has different rules, the only thing that the Torah is leaving out for us that it hasn't dealt with elsewhere is the case of chetz yeshivcha b'chetz yibas chorin umur resus le'evadivri, exactly as Rabbi Akiva said. So the Gemara is going to ask in a minute why we need his opinion if we already had Rabbi Akiva. But he's saying basically because obviously there has to be some kind of consequence for a man having relations with her, because after all she is chetz yibas chorin, but none of the other arayas in the Torah cover this case. You can't call her a real eshesish, as she would be if she was a bas chorin and was more ethic, because she's half shifcha. Therefore, by elimination, that's what this must be talking about.
So it contradicts
Rabbi Shmuel. So go and Rabbi Shmuel. Fine, they're both panoim. You can argue with them. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't. He would say that he would say maybe a chetz yishiv for the chetz bas chorin. He would say maybe a person is chayiv mitzvah because she's half bas chorin. I don't know. Okay, anyway, Acherim Oimim, then we have the fourth opinion, Acherim, which usually means, not necessarily, but usually Acherim means Remeir. Like this, the Pasuk says, Lo Yumasu Kiloichu Pasha, the Pasuk says, they shall not be put to death, as would usually be the case with an Eshes Ish, Kiloichu Pasha, because she was not freed, therefore, that means, Reshifcha Knan, it's Akasa Bedaber, Omur Rasis Le'Evid Knan. So he takes, like Rabbi Shmuel, that it is talking about a full Shifcha Knanis, but he learns not that she's more racist to an Eved Ivri, but rather she's more racist to an Eved Kanani, as we're going to talk about in the Gemara, how he knows that. Okay. Fine. So those are the three opinions. We have three opinions. We have Rabbi Akiva half and half and Ma'uris to an Eved Ivri, Rabbi Shmuel full and Ma'uris to an Eved Ivri, and Acherim full and Ma'uris to an Eved Kanani. Okay. So now let's analyze the opinions. The Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Bishlema v'hafta l'niftasa, I can understand what he does with the words v'hafta l'niftasa, kidikatani, like he said, okay, Dibra Torah, Koloshim Ne'adam, so he doesn't think that there's anything that we learn special from those words. Ela dekatani mu'uresis le'evadivri minolon. Where does he get that it's talking about a case where she's mu'uresis to an evadivri? So the answer is, dechtiv kiloichu posha. The Pasuk says she was not liberated, liberty, freedom, whatever. She was not liberated. She was not freed. Miklal dehu chupash, implying that her husband is to a certain extent free. Therefore, that can only be an Eved Ivri. Remember, as a Shifcha Knanis, she can't be Mu'uresis to a Ben Yisro, because Kedushin wouldn't even be Tosfos. The only one she'd be allowed to be with would be an Eved, the only who's not himself an Eved would be an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is not really but remember, there's a key difference between an Eved Ivri and an Eved Kanani. An Eved Ivri is effectively like a hired laborer. The master doesn't own him forever. He owns his labor for the next 6 years, or until Yovel, as the case may be. He doesn't actually own his goof, as opposed to, no, but therefore, that's the difference. An Eved Kanani, the master actually owns his goof, but an Eved Ivri, he doesn't. So therefore, the Eved Ivri, fine, but the Eved Ivri therefore can be called Choyfesh. He can still be called the Chupash, that he's free, right, that his goof is free, right. He leave Nei Yisrael Avodim, right. Okay. So that's where Rabbi Shmuel gets that she's more racist to an Eved Ivri. Okay, fine. Then we said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that by elimination, we know it has to be Chetzi Yishivcha v'Chetzi Bas Chorin. The question is, Heinu Rabbi Shmuel, Heinu Rabbi Akiva, isn't he saying the same thing as Rabbi Akiva? What is he adding? The answer is, Rabbi Shmuel Ka'ama. Yes, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is adding that he's saying to Rabbi Shmuel, he's saying, Lididi, as far as I'm concerned, Ba'alma Kavasach Zirole de Dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adam. Usually, Rabbi Shmuel, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I would agree with you. Dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adam, usually I would say you can't learn anything special from the double expression. v'hocha shiny, but here there's a special reason why I say that we have to be able to learn something. After all, the pasuk continues ki loichu pasha, that she was not liberated. So therefore, v'hafde lo niftasa lamali. So why do we even need the words v'hafde lo niftasa, that redeemed, she was not redeemed at all? That's what it means. In this particular case, I have reason to darshan v'hafde lo niftasa on the basis of that it says ki loichu pasha, and therefore we don't need both expressions.
What's the meaning
of that word? So he's saying, v'hofte lo therefore teaches us, like Rabbi Akiva, that it means that she was freed but not fully, so she's chet yeshiva, v'chet yibaskarin, and kiloi chupasha, he learns the same as we said before, that she's not chupash, but he, her husband, is chupash, because he's never did it. Okay. Then we said, la'acherim, okay, now let's understand the opinion of acherim. V'shleimer v'hofter lo niftasa. Again, where he says we're talking about a full shifcha k'nanis, and her husband, her man, is a full eved k'nani. So according to him, okay, I can understand. Kasaba dibber teru k'losh m'nei adam. Fine, he holds like a bishmol, you don't learn anything special from v'hofter lo niftasa. Ella had the Eved Knani Minolan, but where do we get that she's engaged to an Eved Knani? The answer is Amakro Kiloi Chupasha. He learns it from the same words Kiloi Chupasha, but he says in Eina Inyan Lidida. Given that we don't need the words Kiloi Chupasha to refer to her, because Vahafde Lo Niftasa already means that she wasn't redeemed. And remember, he's not saying that Vahafde Lo Niftasa means half and half. He says it means she's a full shifa knas. So we know already that she's not free. So what does Chupasha teach us? It doesn't teach us anything about her. Tineu Inyan L'Diday. Since it can't refer to her, then it must be referring to her husband. That she's Me'ureses to an Eved Knan. And that's the definition of Shivcha Charoth, according to him. So, okay, the bottom line is we have three opinions. What? Ki loy Chupasha in the feminine. Chupasha, yeah. But since it can't be referring to her, because we already know she's not free from earlier in the pasuk, then it must mean that her husband is not. That's how it is. Okay, but that's how it is. It's a regular thing that we find throughout Shas. So those are the three opinions. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that we're talking about a chet yeshivcha v'chet yibaskarin, who's mu'ureses to an eved ivri. That's the definition of shivcha charufa. That is when the situation would be that she's getting malchus and he's bringing a korban. She's getting malchus because that's what Torah says. He's Torah to see, and he's bringing a korban because the pasuk says it.
And so
she's a half shivcha knanis, half bas korban. She was half freed, and she's mu'ureses to an eved ivri. So therefore, now if another man has relations with her, then she's getting malchus and he's bringing a korban.
Oh, for a stranger.
A different person, right? Mishnah says, "Kol arayis with all other arayis, echad gadol ve'echad katan. If one member of the couple was an adult and the other one was a child, katan potter. The usual rule is the rule is always that the katan is going to be potter. A katan is not venerishin. As opposed to where the implication is that shivcha harufa is different. So that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara what that means." Echad er ve'echad yoshin, also with all other arayas, if one of them is awake and the other one is sleeping, yoshin potter, the one that was asleep is potter, because it's an oinus. Echad shogig ve'echad mezid, and if one member of them was a shogig and the other was a mezid, shogig b'chatos, or mezid b'ikaris, the one that did it b'shogig has to be a chatos, the one that did it b'mezid is getting karis. So suppose, for example, a man and a woman have relations, she's nidda, and if he's doing it b'mezid, then he's getting karis, and she was b'shogig, because she didn't know this author to do it. When she's nidda, then she's bringing a chatas, and vice versa. Okay. So the Gemara asks, v'hocha chayav katan. So are you telling me over here that when the implication is by all other arayas we're saying that the katan is not punished? Does that mean over here by shivcha harufa it's different? A katan would be punished? How is that? Because apparently the Mishnah is saying kol arayas as opposed to the shivcha harufa. So was it? Yeah. So the answer is amar of Yehuda hachik katani. What the Mishnah means is like this. Kol arayas echad gadol ve'echad katan, katan potter ve'gadol chayav. Usually when you have arayas, yes, the katan is going to be potter, but remember that the punishments of the two of them are not interdependent. The katan can be chayav on the grounds that he's underage, but the gadol can still be chayav. So, for example, again, in the case of a nidah, let's say a cousin who's 9 years old or over, where his bia is considered to have significance in halacha, if he has relations with a woman who's nidah and she was mazed, she's getting karis, but he's not getting anything because he's a cousin. Or for that matter, if it was one of the ones that's high of Mrs. Basin, she'd be getting Mrs. Basin, and he doesn't, being a cousin. As opposed to, in other words, because there's no dependency one on the other. Over here, what the Mishnah means to imply is that with the Shivka Harufa, if one of them is a gadol and the other one is a cotton, not only the cotton is going to be potter on the ground of being a cotton, but also the gadol is going to be potter. My time of Dohamakshi and Ahadodi, and the reason would be because we said before in the Gemara that we have a hekesh, that only when she's getting malchus is he bringing the korban. Therefore, for example, if she's a kana, she's not getting malchus on the grounds that she's a kana. Therefore, he, even though he's a gadol, is not bringing the korban, and vice versa. Even if it was amazing. With that said, the Rambam learns that if he was a cotton from 9 and older, he would have to bring the korban. The Rambam learns over here that when we say over here, in other words, if she was a gdola and he was 9 and over, the Rambam writes, it's true that if it was a question of malchus, we couldn't give him malchus being a cotton, but here we're talking about a korban, he would bring the korban. The Rambam writes that it seems to me he would have to wait to bring the korban until he's a gadol, but nevertheless, the Rambam holds he's chayav in the korban. The Raiva disagrees with that and says, no, based on our Gemara over here, it seems or not. No, but one answer is that it's not, that bringing a korban is not really considered an oynish, and another answer the Magen Mishnah mentions, which actually the Rebbe has a sikha about it in Chelik Yudayin, that the primary thing is it depends on her status, and since she's a gdola and she's getting malchus, therefore there's no reason that he shouldn't be bringing the korban, that he should be potter from the korban just because he's a korban. Okay. So then we said in the Mishnah, Kol Arayas Echad Nir Ve'Echad Yoshin. We said with all other Arayas, if one of them is awake and the other one is sleeping, Yoshin Potter, then the sleeping one is Potter. So again, what's the implication? Pan Yoshin Nami Chayev. Are you telling me over here that if one of them is sleeping and they're still Chayev? How can you be Mechayev? No, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Hachi Katani. Right. Again, what the Mishnah means is, Kol Arayas Echad Nir Ve'Echad Yoshin, Yoshin Potter Ve'Nir Chayev, same thing. The two things don't depend one on the other. The one who is sleeping can be Potter, and the one who is awake can still be Chayev. We don't say just because one of them is Potter, the other one is automatically Potter. But kind of through the Nir Potter, again, what we're saying is, if one of them was sleeping, both of them are Potter. Same reason, my time at Demakshi and Adadi. Same reason, because of the Hekesh, that only when she's getting Malchus is he bringing the Korban, and vice versa. Okay, fine. And then, yeah, Tony Tana Kamed Rav Sheshes, then a Tana taught a Braisa in front of Rav Sheshes that said, Osu Goymer Kimara, the Chachamim has explained to us, Osu doesn't mean like they made a Takana or whatever, it means the Chachamim have explained how it is Alpi Torah, how it is Midaraisa, that Goymer, when he did Gmar Bia, is the same as Ma'ara, as just the initial touch, Miskavin Kshein Miskavin, the din is that Miskavin, if he had intent, is the same exact as Eina Miskavin, if he had no intent. And Kedarka, Shaloi Kedarka, whether that Kedarka has the same din as Shaloi Kedarka, and Nir Kiyoshin, and awake is the same as asleep. One second, we have to figure out. Amalei, so Rav Sheshes says, my comrade, which case are you talking about that you're saying that there are all these equations, that Goymer is like Ma'ara and so forth? Which case? Are you talking about other Arayas, or are you talking about Shivcha Harufa? The Shivcha Harufa Katani, if you're talking about in the case of Shivcha Harufa, what do you mean? Am I also Goymer to Ma'ara? What do you mean that Goymer is like Ma'ara? Goymer b'Shivcha Harufa Mechayev, Ma'ara loy Mechayev, as we learned before, only when there's Gmar Din, Only when there's Gmar, by Shivcha Harufa uniquely among all the other Arayas, only when there's Gmar Bia, is she Chayiv in Malkus and he's Chayiv in the Korban, not when there's Ma'ara. So what do you mean also Goymer to Ma'ara? Ma'ara is not Chayiv. Ma'ara means the initial touch of his Aver to hers. It's Macholikus in the Gemara Yavamis, whether it means the initial touch, whether it means the initial bit of penetration, whatever. The point is that it's the first step, yeah, the first stage of Bia. So usually by most Arayas, Ha'ra is the same as Gmar Bia. As soon as Ha'ra is done, all of the usual consequences of Bia apply. But in the case, in as far as Missa, as far as Malchus, as far as Karbanus, as far as that she's not of Sola anymore, et cetera, uniquely by Shivcha Harufa, there has to be Gmar Bia. So Rav Sheshet is saying, if your Braisa is talking about Shivcha Harufa, then it's not correct to say Ma'ara is not like Gomer, because Ma'ara is Potter and Gomer is Chayim. Same thing, Vitu Miskaven, Shein Miskaven. Also, what do you mean that Miskaven, as I say, that we're having intent, is the same as Eina Miskaven? What does it mean, by the way, Eina Miskaven? Rashi explains that Eina Miskaven would be he had no intention even to have relations. For example, that he fell off a roof and landed on top of her, and it's a weird case. But the Gemara mentioned such a case in Bava Kamma. The Gemara mentioned such a case.
What about
the, he had das. He had a kishui. He's lying there on the roof. He had a kishui already, and then he fell off and then landed. Okay, it's possible. It's very obvious. It's possible. I don't know. The point is that it's conceivably it is possible, and that would be Rashi explains that's the definition of Eina Miskaven. We would say that then in fact he would be Potter on the basis of, because now we mentioned before that the pasuk by Shivcha Harufa mentions the Ishki Yishkavas Isar Shichvas Zera. Now usually Shichvas Zera means the actual seminal fluid, but over here Rashi explains it doesn't mean that. It just means that it has to be Rory Lazria. It has to be that he's capable of fertilizing. Well, not really das. It just means Rory Lazria. This wouldn't be called Rory Lazria. Tosfos says why not? Who says it's not Roy Lazria? He had Kishri. He had the ability to produce Zera. Why not? So Tosfos says, no, Animus Gavin, Inbi Potter, not on the grounds of the word Shikma Zera, but just because he's honest. And in general, a person who's honest is not Chayim.
Animus Gavin, it's very hard for a person to dress. He has to have food. He still have to be honest.
Right, understood. I mean, it could be a one in a million case, but nevertheless, conceivably, it could happen. Okay. Anyway, but again, the question is, what do you mean the scaven chain of a scaven? We said if she had kavana, then she's chayev. If not, then she's not chayev the malchus, because obviously that's how it is. Because we said before, only when she's chayev malchus is he chayev karban, and therefore if she was b'shoigig, then she's not chayev. And for that matter, if he wasn't a chayev, he's not yet. And also, what do you mean? And also Rav Shesha says, what do you mean in the Braisa that if you're talking about Shivcha Harufa, that Kedarka is like Shaloi Kedarka? Nami, that also doesn't work. Kedarka v'Shivcha Harufa Mechayev, v'Shaloi Kedarka loy Mechayev. Again, there's a unique difference by Shivcha Harufa. Bia Shaloi Kedarka does not count for the purpose of the din of Shivcha Harufa. Only Bia Kedarka does, as opposed to all other arayas. My time a shichvas zera. Again, because the pasuk says that he lies with her shichvas zera, implying that it's the kind of lying that could conceivably produce a child, and shalei kedarka can't do that. And also, one more, he says, my neo kiyoshin. What do you mean? Awake is like a sleep. Again, if one of them is asleep, then there's another no chiyuv over here. So therefore, obviously, the braisa says, Rav Sheshet, the braisa that you're quoting obviously can't be talking about shichvas harufa. But because it doesn't work. None of these four dinim that you mentioned work by Shivcha Harufa. The Ibish Ara Arayas Katani. Now, if you're going to say instead that the Braisa is talking about all the other Arayas, then you have to ask, what do you mean also Gomer Shema Ara? What do you mean? The Chachamim explained to us that Gomer, that Gmar Bia, is like Ma'ara, meaning, in other words, that you would say that that Ma'ara Hibichayev, Malkus or Korban or Koris or what have you, and Gmar Bia also, if Chamud Bar Leila missed down the face of it, it should have had to say the other way around. There's obviously no chiddush that if there was Gmar Bia, he's chayev. The bigger chiddush is that even Ha'ara is chayev. So it should have said also Ma'ara to Goymer. That the Chachamim said not only if he was Goymer, where then it's obvious that he's chayev in whatever the consequences are, but even Ma'ara. Yeah. So there's something wrong with this braisa. Amale, so the Tana says to Rav Sheshet, Ismiye, should I delete it? Each Tana had a repertoire of braises that he knew by heart, which he would say over in the Mizmedrash. So if a braise was wrong, was found to be wrong, then he'd have to delete it from his mental repertoire. From now on, he's not going to say it anymore. Amale loy, so Rav Sheshet tells him, no, you don't have to delete it, but we have to clarify what the braise means. What the braise means is like this. So he says like this, you have to understand the braisa means like this. The kedarka versus shaloi kedarka is not meant as a separate distinction. It's meant to go with each of the other ones. It is talking about Shifcha Harufa after all, but we have to explain that the word Kedarka and Shaloi Kedarka is referring to each of the other ones. Also, Goyme Shaloi Kedarka the Shifcha Harufa, that Deloy Mechayvi, the Chachamim explained to us that if he has does Gmar Bia with a Shifcha Harufa, but it's Shaloi Kedarka, then he's not Chayev, just like Kema'ara Bedarka, just like if he did only Ha'ara Kedarka. Just like we know that Kedarka, it has to be Gmar Bia, because otherwise it can't be called Shichvas Dera. So now the Brai says that this Brai therefore is telling us the same thing is true as far as Shaloi Kedarka, even if there was Gmar Bia, even if there was full penetration, but because it's Shaloi Kedarka, it still doesn't fit the criteria of Shichvas Dera, therefore he's potter. Same thing. Shichvas Dera. Shichvas Dera means literally a lying of seed. So it means the kind of lying together that could conceivably produce seed, produce children. Similarly, so the Shichvas Derech, because the passage says Shichvas Derech. Similarly, Miskaven Shaloi Kedarka B'Shichva, Dipturin, the same way, even if he has intent, but again it was Shaloi Kedarka, by a Shichva Harufa, they would be potter, Ke'ene Miskaven, that would be just as much potter as if they were Ene Miskaven. Again, the Shichvas Derech, for the same reason, because Shaloi Kedarka doesn't fit under the criteria of Shichvas Derech. Same thing, Neir Shaloi Kedarka, the Shifcha, even if they were awake, by both of them, by the Shifcha Harufa, but the Bia was Shaloi Kedarka, still, the Pturin, they'd also be Potter, Ki Yoshin, just as if one of them was asleep. My time at the Shifcha Zera, right. So we take the word Shifcha Zera and apply it to each of the other three cases in the Braise. Tosfos finds it a little difficult in that case. I mean, in that case, Kedarka v'Shaloi Kedarka should have been last. No, but the point is it should have been last on the list instead of in the middle. Okay, but then we had in the Braisa a list of four things. We said also Goymer Kema'ara, Miskaven Mishena Miskaven, Kedarka v'Shaloi Kedarka, Nio Kiyosha. Or Kedarka v'Shaloi Kedarka, meant to refer to each of them, it should have been last. Okay, fine. So,
maybe
they
didn't remember that.
Okay, Anna. Nimsa. So the bottom line is it comes out like this. Miskaven v'hama'ara b'shifcha, even if he has intent, but he does only ha'ara with shifcha, that is the equivalent of k'she'ein miskaven b'chol arayis. It's the equivalent of not having kavana by any of the other arayis. So therefore, there's no penalty because there ain't a miskaven. He fell off a roof or was onerous or whatever. Yoshin kedarka, k'yoshin da'arayis, if he has relations with her, but kedarka, but he or she was sleeping, it's the equivalent of being asleep by other arayis, again, no penalty. Nimta neir, shaloi kedarka, but shivcha k'yoshin da'chol arayis. And it also comes out that even if he's awake, but it was shaloi kedarka, by a shivcha, it's the equivalent of being asleep by all the other arayis, and again, he's potter, it has to be kedarka, and of course, as with all other arayis, it has to be that he was awake and knowing what he was doing, etc. Okay. Another point of miskaven d'arayis, actually, Tosfos brings another explanation from Rashi that any miskaven could be also, for example, let's say that we're going to have a case like this later on in the Masechta where, for example, his wife and his sister, let's say, were sleeping in the same bed, and he intended to have relations with his wife and accidentally had with his sister. That would be an example of any miskaven. Tosfos is not, so he'd be chayev chasas, because after all, he had hanah. Okay.
Why do we say Yaakov when he slept with Leah?
That's a different matter. Because that's a different issue. First of all, neither of them was an heir to him at that point, first of all.
I'm not talking about heir.
Okay.
How could she be
the Kedesha? He was Makadish already. You're talking about Bia. Bia is something else. Bia, the tradition already taking place. Whatever, that's a discussion for another time. Let's stick to the topic. Okay, Hadron Allah Chabal Mechutzer Kapala. Okay, so now we're going to start talking. Now we're going to get into what makes a person Chayev Achata. We've learned in the first parak about the 36 cases where a person is Chayev Kares, out of which 32 or 33, however we counted them, are making Chayev Achata. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty. What are the details how a person ends up being Chayev and Achata? The Mishnah is going to start by using the example of a person eating chalev because it's a common example. You have chalev around the house, easily confused with kosher to fat. So, yeah. Okay. So, Amru lo yachal to chalev. Suppose that people told him, you ate chalev. Well, maybe chafas. You have to bring a chafas for that. What about eid oim ochal? Well, we're going to see. We're going to discuss all of this in the Gemara. Does the Omrula mean one person or two people? Does he say I didn't, or does he not say anything? Whatever. Aid Omer Ochal, but Aid Omer Loy. If one aid says he ate chaylev, and a different aid says he didn't, or Isha Emeres Ochal, but Isha Emeres Loy Ochal, or one woman says he ate chaylev and the other one says he did not, the din is maybe Oshem Tolui, then he has to bring an Oshem Tolui. But in this case, there is a concept called aid echad naman beisturim. When it comes to dinim of Easter, one aid is acceptable. You don't even need two aidim, and it doesn't matter. A man or a woman are equally acceptable. Think about it. How is it that you were able to go to somebody's house and eat the food that the balabasta prepared? Don't you have to have a rob there give you a bib supervising? No, aid echad naman beisturim. Because that, and it's got to do with, therefore, that her statement is acceptable when it comes to Isurim, to say that this is Osir and this is Musir. So the same way, her statement is acceptable to say that you ate Chayim. Okay. So then again, she saw him eat, let's say. She saw him eat, which is something that, as far as she knows, is Chayim, and another woman says he didn't. So then maybe Oshem Tolu. So now you have a topic. We're also saying, also, it doesn't just have to be a male aid. It can be a woman also. Then maybe Oshem Tolu. In those two cases, if it was one against one, or two, or one against one, whether they're both men or both women, then he brings an Oshem Tolu. Tosfos, by the way, points out, when it comes to male aiding, that would only be the case if they both said it at the same time, or b'masachas, whatever, in basin, let's say. But if it was b'zachazeh, we would say, since the Torah believes one aid as the equivalent of two, once his aid is accepted, one aid can't contradict him.
Okay. The first one.
Right, so therefore then we'd have to go according to the first one and make him chayav achat. What about aid omer ochal? Now, aid omer ochal v'hu omer lo yachal. What if one aid says he ate chaylev and he contradicts them and says, I didn't eat chaylev? Potter. Then he's potter. Because it was only one aid. But shnayim omer ochal v'hu omer lo yachal. What if two aidim say he ate chaylev and he still contradicts them and says, I didn't? Rameir Machayev, Rameir says he's going to be chayev. You have two aidim against him. His statement
doesn't
mean
men. Right?
No, but Pashas aidim means men. If we wanted to say... Hold on, because Omer Rameir, and Rameir says, I can show you that he shouldn't be believed in that case. Im heviul shnayim v'dei misa chamura. If two edim are able to cause a person to be chayav misa, which is much more stringent, and even if he's saying the whole time in base that I didn't do it, doesn't matter against two edim. Lo yeviul l'dei korban akal. Shouldn't two edim be enough to bring him to bring a korban, which is a much lighter penalty? So therefore, even if he contradicts them, Omru loy. Listen, Amru Loi, however the Chachamim answered him, no, it's not a valid comparison. Ma imir tzaloyim amazed her, you see, Potter. After all, when it comes to Chaylev and most other cases where he's Chayev, he's only Chayev with Shregu. If he had wanted to say, I was mazed, he could Potter himself that way. In effect, it's kind of like a migu. It's kind of like a migu, and we'll discuss that in the morning. So, okay, but that's not the business of the Adim.
But he won't get Taurus.
He won't get Taurus because he knows the truth. But the point is, he had, in other words, when he contradicts them, he's not necessarily, it's not necessarily that his statement has to be in opposition to theirs. They're saying, you ate, but they have no way of knowing if he was Shregig or made it. So he, in effect, he could have said, I made it. And therefore, in effect, he has a migri. We'll talk about in the Gemara whether it's exactly a migri.
Yes, I did eat, but it was the Shregig.
Whatever. The point is, he can say, I didn't. No, he can say, I didn't. But we can accept that argument because he could have said, I ate it, but it was remaining. Okay. Here's another din. If a person ate two pieces of chaylev, but it was in one halim, in one period of not knowing that it's osur or not knowing that it's chaylev or whatever. So there were two pieces of chaylev, two different pieces, each one of kazayas. But yeah.
One's kosher, one's not.
Which a chaylev by definition means not kosher. We did discuss in the first parak, we had the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who says that he's going to be getting separate malchus for each one if they're from different animals, shur and kesev and a's, but we said even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that when it comes to a korban, he's only bringing the one. On the other hand, ocho chelev v'dam or pigul v'nosu v'helamachas, what if he ate different isurim or v'helamachas? So then chayev ocho achas v'achas, then he's chayev an individual chatas for each one. So there you have a chumra in many different kinds of isurim versus one. Because if he repeats the same isur behelam echad, he's only bringing one. But different isurim, even though it's behelam echad, he's bringing one chumra. The chumra b'min echad b'min in habe. On the other hand, there's a chumra in one min over many minim. Shem ocho kachati zayis because of ocho kachati zayis acher behelam echad. Suppose he ate a half zayis. And then later on, he ate another half of zayis, and it was all behelam echad. Mimin echad chayev, it was all from one min, and it was b'seich kedeach of straf, then he would be chayev. So he ate half of zayis of chaylev, and a minute later, he ate another half of zayis of chaylev, and it was all behelam echad, so he's going to be chayev. Mishnei min in Tazir. But if he ate a half of zayis of chaylev, and then a minute later, he ate a half of zayis of jam, he's going to be Tazir. Because you didn't eat a full zayis of any one iser.
Oh, even though together he had zayis.
Even though together it was a zayis, but it was two different isers. It was half of one Easter and half of the different.
Why do we
need the last case? That's what it, what do you mean? What about what? How do we deduce it from the previous case? We didn't say anything about this before.
We
said that he eats just different Easter, he brings different chatzaros for them. We never said anything about that different Easter don't combine. Maybe how do we know different Easter don't combine?
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to have to deal with it in the Gemara with how tackle we know that different Easter don't combine. Okay. Fine. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Katani Omer Lo Yachal Techelev Mevi Chatos. We said that the first case of the Mishnah, we said they told him that you ate Chelev. We said he brings a Chatos. On the face of it, Omru Kamahavian. When we say they said to him, how many does that? The Pashtos today. The Pashtos means two men, two eight. So the question is, Behuma Omer Lo. What is he answering to them? Ilema De Shosik V'Lo Kamachesh Lo. Are we talking about that he was quiet and he didn't contradict them? So what does he mean? El shtika de train who de maybe chatos al shtika de chadloi. So you're telling me, and if it was only one person told him you ate chaylev and he didn't answer, which implicitly means shtika kaida, it means he agreed. Would you say he wouldn't bring a chatos? Eima metziyosa. Look at the middle case of the Mishnah. Aid oima ocha vehu oima lo yachalti. That if one aid says you ate chaylev and he contradicts him, then he doesn't bring a chatos. Implying time of the machlis leiv. Why is he not bringing a chatas? Because he's contradicting the other guy. Avol shosik mechayev. But if he was quiet, then even though it was only one aid, he would be chayev to bring a chatas. V'choshek and trei. How much more so if it was two? So apparently, the first case of the Mishnah cannot be talking about where he just was quiet, where they said that you ate chaylev and he didn't say anything. Because then for sure, even if whether it was one or two, he's going to be chayev. Elo de chamakis. So evidently the first case of the Mishnah must be that he's contradicting them. They said to him, you ate chaylev, and he says, no, I didn't. Well then, mani, well, who would that be according to? That says, maybe chatzos. Apparently, Reb Meir. Apparently, that would be according to Reb Meir. D'Omar, who says later in the Mishnah, hakosha debetre la vakosha. He says, you can't contradict two. As Reb Meir said in the Mishnah, if two are able to make him chayev misa, for sure they can make him chayev chatzos. So Reb Meir doesn't care about the fact that he contradicts them. Well then, Avol Rabbanon Potter. Apparently, according to the Rabbanon, he would be Potter because the Rabbanon say he could contradict them. Well then, the question is, Umay Kamash Malan. So what is the first word to the Mishnah? Om Ruloya Chal Techelav Maybe Chatos. So what's the Chiddush in it? Misefer Shamavina. You can see from the Sefer that the mayor holds that way. That even if he contradicts them, it doesn't matter. So what are those six words at the beginning of the Mishnah? What's the Chiddush in that?
You could have deduced it from the Sefer.
But from the Sefer. The Mayor says explicitly that if there's two aid, we can't contradict it. The answer is, Hokamash Malon. Okay, no, the Mishnah just wants to inform us. No, the Mishnah just wants to inform us. This that it says at the beginning of the Mishnah, that Omru Loya, Chal Techelav, maybe Chatos, you should know that actually the Mayor and the Chachamim disagree on it. Vahu de Kamakish Lahu, if he disagrees with that. If he doesn't say anything, then for sure he's Chayav, even if it was only one aid. That they both agree, but if he contradicts them, then the Mishnah starts off, or the Stam Mishnah, saying that he'd be chayev, but then later on, the Mishnah clarifies, you should know that actually the Chachamim disagree with their Meirans. Okay. Ikadamri, a different version, a different understanding of how we can understand the Mishnah without it being redundant, is Omru Loi Nami Chad Kori Loi. The word Omru Loi, we assume that the word Omru Loi necessarily means two people, because Omru is plural, but not necessarily. Omru Loi can also mean that there was only one person. No, it's not. So as we're going to see, we're going to give an example. Well, listen! Learn a little in the Gemara inside, and we'll see. Amruloi Nami Chad Karilei. The word Amruloi can also mean one person. You know what? First of all, I mean, the Gemara is going to bring an example from a Mishnah in Yevamos. But you know what? Think of like in English. Sometimes we say, you know, they say such and such. And who's the they? It could be one person. Yeah. Okay, so new, we're going to see. Ditznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Yevamos. Ha'isha shaholach bailo l'mdinasiyan. If a woman's husband went overseas, but ubov amrulah meisbailach, they, and we're going to see who the they are. One second. Came and told her, your husband is dead, the nisis, and she got married, v'achakach babayla, and then in the end, her husband shows up, the din is keitzei mizeh umizeh. She has to get divorced from both. She's not allowed to stay with her second husband because she was an eishes ish, so kedushin weren't even tofes. She's not allowed to go back to her first husband because it's considered that she was mizana, really, and therefore she's also to her first husband. Kashem shasir labao kachasir labayla. Now, Dekaimalon, Dafila Bachad. Now, we know for a fact, as the Gemara discusses there in Yevamos, that Mishnah is talking about there was only one aid. Mimai, and how do we know that? Dafila Bachad, that even if there was only one aid. Mimai, how do we know that? Midkotoni Sefer, we know that because the Mishnah, because the Mishnah continues, Nisit Shaloi Bereshus, that the Mishnah continues, if she got married without permission of Beis Din, Muteres Lachzoloi. Then she's permitted to return to her original husband. So what do you mean, my shaloi bereshus? What do you mean that who didn't she get permission from? It means shaloi bereshus based in the edecha. That means there wasn't permission of based in, but there wasn't permission of based in based on just one aid. There were two aid. That's called shaloi bereshus because she doesn't need permission from based in that case. Once two aidim have come and said, and their testimony has been checked out, that her husband is dead, she's entitled at that point to get married. She doesn't need reshus based in. The local based in, fine. The point is then the local based in doesn't have to tell her in so many words, you're allowed to get married. Shaloi bereshus means she didn't have to ask permission from based in because there were two aidim and Miklal the Reisha Bereshus Beis Din of Eidechon. So therefore, the Reisha must be talking about she had to get permission from Beis Din because there was only one aid. The point being like this, in other words, if there were two aidim, we can't consider that. Then it's considered an oinus. Then it's considered an oinus. It's the equivalent of a woman getting raped, where she's allowed unless she's the wife of a Kohen, she's allowed to return to her husband. Because what could she do? There were two aidim, that's the gold standard of evidence in halacha. So fine, she thought her husband was dead. Turns out he wasn't. Okay, it was an oinus. But if there was one aid, the reason why Beis Din would give her permission to be married is based on a concept that Gemara explains there in Yevamos called Isha Daika Uminsva. A woman is going to check things out thoroughly before she gets to be married because if it turns out that her husband is alive, there's going to be all kinds of very severe consequences. Manzeros, if she loses the uksuba, and this and that and the other, whatever. So therefore, if there's only one aid, to a certain extent, we hold her responsible. Because why is she relying only on one aid and permission of the Beis Din? She should say, Daika Uminsava. She should check out the situation. Daika Uminsava. She should check the situation out more thoroughly before going and getting married. And therefore, we hold her to a certain extent at all. Right. So therefore...
So we allow
one aid to testify, but then at that point, now it's her responsibility. Do I want to rely on that aid, or do I not? Fine, I have official permission from Beis Din, now I can remarry, but do I want to take advantage of that, or am I worried about the consequences? If there were two aid, that's the gold standard of evidence in halacha. There's no higher standard of evidence in halacha than two aid. So then she'd be allowed to go back to her considered oinus.
Because it was oinous
in the sense that she had nothing, there's no higher standard that she could have been waiting for. Like this one, there's one aid, we can say, why are we relying on one aid? At least wait till two aids get come.
But if there were two aids, why did you say
that? Because then there's nothing more for her to wait for at that point. Once there are two aids, that's it. That's the husband is dead. She's entitled to rely on that, just like we rely on two aidim for everything else in the Torah. And therefore, at that point, if it turns out that it was wrong and her husband is actually alive, it's considered an aid. As opposed to if there was only one aid, what are you rushing into after one aid? You should have checked out the situation better and wait until there's a second aid. Yeah. So therefore, Alma Gaba Eid Echad Katani Omru. So therefore, we see exactly there that you have the expression Omru law, and yet it means one aid. So here, when it says Amru Lo, at the beginning of the Mishnah, it can mean one person.
1 second.
So here, but that's the thing. Here it can mean one. So we don't have to say that it means two, and then we're forced to say that the Mishnah is starting according to the mayor and then clarifying. The point is we can understand it that way. No? Yeah.
Who said that you apply the very exclusive case of
once we see that Amru Loi can mean one person, then we're entitled to understand our Mishnah that way. That it means that Amru Loi, unless otherwise specified, can mean one aid, and therefore that can be what our Mishnah means. So then, again, we have to ask, well, who am I calling? So now, again, let's ask, supposing there's only one aid, what is he answering to that aid? Are you saying that he contradicts that aid and says, I did not eat that? Me, Maisi. Would he bring a korban? What do you mean? The Mishnah says, maybe chatam. The middle part of our Mishnah says, aid echad oimah acha, v'hu oimah lo yachalti, chatam. El of the Shosik, again, if he's not saying anything, we already have the middle case in the Mishnah, Eid Echad Oim Echola, Taimer the Kamachashle, that only if he's contradicting the Eid is he falter, Abel Shosik Mishnah Chayev, but if he's quiet, then he would be Chayev. So again, if we understand the Mishnah that way, that Om Ruloi means one Eid, then what's the Chiddush of it? Of course, with one Eid, if he's contradicting, we know he's falter, and if he's not contradicting, we know he's Chayev. The answer is the la'olam d'loy machnishlei. We are talking, after all, he didn't contradict the aid. But hachi katani, what it means is like this. Amru lo yachalta chaylev maybe chapa. If they, meaning one person, tells him you ate chaylev, he brings a chapa. But med bonam amurim deshasik. When would that apply? Only if he was quiet. Ava machnishlei potter. But if he contradicts that one aid, then he's potter. And later on, the mission is... because later on, the Mishnah says, if he contradicts him, then he's potter. Here, the first part of the Mishnah is implying that there will be a case where even though there was one aid, he is bringing a chata, what would be that case where he was silent? That's the point. That's the finish of it. You shouldn't say that one aid is not enough to be mechayevim. One aid can indeed be enough to be mechayevim as long as he doesn't contradict that aid. There is, by the way, machlokas rishonim, what if there's a third possibility, right? He could not say anything. He could say, I didn't. He could say, I don't know. What would be the din then? Tosfos learns that actually, in that case also, if it was one aid, he would also be potter. In order for, not all the rishonim agree with that. As the Raivad, I think, disagrees with that and says that no, actually, that if he says any adeya, he might still, that's not considered a contradiction. Only if he says, I didn't, only then would he be potter. Then he's potter because there was only one aid. But if he stays silent, even though there was only one aid, he's silent. That's the chiddush of it, because even though there was only one aid. By the way, there's a related chiddush that I'm not pointing out. Suppose you have, given that aid echad nemen b'yisurin, you could have, conceivably, one person that gives aidus that this is chaylin. Now let's say, for example, you have one person tells you this is chaylin. And you don't say anything, which means implicitly you've accepted it. If later on that person eats that chaylev, and there were two aidim who warned him not to eat it, he will be chayev malchus. The iser is only known through one aid. Doesn't matter. That's another example where aid echad nemen b'yisurin. Now there's two aidim who told him not to eat it, but they're basing themselves on the one aid who originally said that it's chaylev. Yeah.
So then he would be
chayev, even though the Rambam says, even though the iker of the iser comes about only through one aid. So now the question is, so how do we know that midaraita, if he doesn't contradict the aid, that he would be chayev even though it's only one aid? So let's just turn it up, Ronan. When the pasuk says, oy hoida elav chatosai, it says, when his sin is made known to him, hoida means that he himself finds it out. Hoida, he should me'atma, Rashi says, v'lo shiyodi uhu acherim. So not that other people inform him. And then you would think that would be the case even if other people inform him and he doesn't contradict them. But the positive is, if it was informed to him, meaning the Kol Malka. But if he's not Machish them, then we apply. In other words, the word Oy Hoida means that he was informed. So it means he was informed, it could be by himself, or we're saying, if other people inform him, then it says, Oy hoida elav, it was informed to him, meaning the kol mokum, regardless, as long as he was informed. So one second, the maya skinan. So we have to ask, what's the scenario that the bride says talking about? Elaim of the train. Are we talking about that there were two agim? What do you mean? Train Bang Nakish and Grubboy? You need a Pusik to tell us that there were two Adem and he doesn't contradict them. He should be Chayev, of course. Again, two Adem are the gold standard. So, of course, if he, fine, when he contradicts them, you have the Machloik, that's the mayor, and the Chachamim in our mission. But if he doesn't contradict them, there's no question that he's Chayev. You don't need the Pusik to tell us that. El Alav Bechad. Obviously, therefore, the Pusik and the Braisa must be referring to a case where it was one aid, Vikatoni, Kien, Machish, and Naheman. And we're saying if he doesn't contradict them, then that one aid is believed. Shmamino, that proves it.
What do you need to go back?
Oi hoida elav chatotai means veloishia di uhu acherim. He's not chayev if other people inform him. However, yach of the avera, but yachol afila ein machishan. In other words, what the Braita is telling us is that if someone else informed him, but he contradicts that person, then he's not chayev. But if he was informed, then he didn't contradict them. If he contradicted them, then he's potter. And if he didn't contradict them, then he's chayev. So now, obviously, that's not enough talking about two Adim, because if he doesn't contradict them, there's no chiddush that he's chayev. So
if
we must.
He does contradict them, he's still chayev.
According to the mayor, he's chayev. According to the Chacham, he's potter. And Yitzhalayim amazed it. What did he say in the Mishnah? No, the Chachamim said, and Yitzhalayim amazed it. So therefore, the Braisa and in turn the Pasuk must be referring that there was one aid. And you're saying that if he doesn't contradict that aid, then he's chayev. So there you go. Shmamino, that proves that even with one aid, if he doesn't contradict, then he's chayev.
He can't say migur by one aid.
Well, there's not even a question of migur. If he doesn't contradict, he didn't say anything. Migur is only if he says something. No. Migur doesn't apply if you don't say anything. It applies if you say one thing, you could have said something else.
Shmamino said that when there's two aid,
he could still contradict them.
And he contradicts them, and what happens?
That's fine. He's my mutual amazing basis. So now let's start discussing. Let's discuss that, and maybe it'll become a little clearer. Okay. We said Amar Rav Meir Kal V'Chomer. We said Rav Meir had said, of course, he can't contradict two Adim. If they were able to make him be Chayav Misa, they should be make him be able to be Chayav Karvin. The question is, Ibarimahu, my time is Rabbanim. What is the Chachamim's reason that they say that they can contradict him? Is it Mishum de Adam Neman al Atma Yos Mimea Ish? Is it because we say a person is more believed about himself that with things, when it comes to things of kapara, Rashi says, he's more believed than 100 people? Meaning, in other words, you're not going to have, the person himself knows the truth, whether he did the Avera and whether he did it for Shayu or not. He knows that there's kapara necessary if he did. So he's not going to play games with that and say that I didn't need it if he really did. Because then he's denying himself kapara, and he's not going to want to do that. So is that the Rabbanan's reason? Or is it because we say he could have said, if he wanted to lie, he could have said, I was amazed. And therefore, and then he would be potter. So ki omanami loya chalti. So then, if he also says I didn't eat meheimon, he'd also be believed potter. And then he'd also be potter again because mali l'shaker. On the basis of a migri. So therefore, because we have a migri, when he says I didn't eat, he could have had a migri that he could have said made. And Tosfos discusses over here and in other places, Tosfos discusses a little hard to say a migri. Usually, we say you don't say a migri makam agent. Usually don't say a migri when it's contradicted by Adim. So, okay. The point is that if he's saying over here, lawyer Halsey, the Adim are saying, I did eat. So the Tosfos learns a little bit differently, that what it means is not so much a migri, but that the words lawyer Halsey themselves can be understood to mean I didn't eat it in a way that would make me chayev in a korban, rather I ate it in a way that would make me potter from a korban, namely that I was made. So he's not directly contradicting the Adim. Okay, so the question is, the point is, in other words, that the Rabbanan in the Mishnah are saying, Mayim Yitzalim Amezer Isi, but the Gemara is wondering whether that's the Chachamim's real reason, or whether they're just saying, you, the mayor, who are mentioning the Kavach Chaimah, will slug up your Kavach Chaimah on that basis. But we ourselves hold that anyway, Odom Neman al Asma Yitzalim Amezer, when it comes to Kavach.
This guy said, but let's say he knows he did it.
That's the point. That's the first possibility in the Gemara. Adam Neman al Atma Yosef Meish. Now the Chum would say he knows the truth. He knows he can't play games with Hashem. Therefore, when he says Lo Yachalti, it must be true because otherwise he's denying himself kapara. So the Gemara says, "Umay Nafkamina." Okay, what's the practical difference? What the Chachamim's reason is? Either way, they're saying he's potter when he contradicts the Adim. The answer is Lemishat Mina Latruma. The question would be, could we use this case over here to also answer the question, what about if there was a similar case with Tumah? Suppose that Edom tell him, you became Tomei and then you went into the Beit HaMikdash, and he contradicts them. Would it work or not? If we say the reason is because he's not going to play around with matters of Kapara, then it wouldn't matter whether they're saying that you just right now became Tomei and entered the Beit HaMikdash, or whether they say you became Tomei yesterday and then you entered the Beit HaMikdash today. Either way, the Chachamim would say, if he says, I didn't, we would believe him. Because either way, he's not going to play around with something that involves Kapara. So therefore, in other words, now, when you think about it, there's a difference. If they tell him, you became Tomei today, and you went into the Beit HaMikdash right after that, there's no possibility that he can say, yeah, but in between I went to the mikveh. Even if we went to the mikveh, he'd be a Tzvul Yoyin. He'd still need to have Shemesh. On the other hand, if they tell him you became Tomei yesterday and you went into the Beit HaMikdash today, he has an out, right? He could always say, I went to the mikveh yesterday. So if we say it's a matter of that we believe in more than 100 people because it's a matter of kapara, then it doesn't matter whether they say it's a Tumah Yashana or Tumah Chadasha. Either way, when he says I didn't, we would have to believe him because he's not going to play around with kapara. But if you're going to say that the reason is based on the Migri, or based on that we can reinterpret what he said, fine, the Rabbanon would agree that he's poster if they're claiming Tumah Yashana, because he has a Migri. When he says, I didn't do it, he has a Migri that he could have said, yes, I was Tumah yesterday, but I went to the mitzvah and had a head of Shemesh. But you would have to say, according to the Chachamim, he would be chayiv if they said you became Tomei today and you went into the Beit HaMikdash today, because then he has no migud. My time, why is that? Exactly that. Tumah Yashana migudi boyama tavalti potter. Since with the Tumah Yashana, he has a migud, he could have said I toybold and that would make him potter. Kiyama nami lo nitmesi potter. So even if he says I didn't become Tomei at all, you could also say he's potter the ikalamema, because we can reinterpret what he says. My lo nitmesi to karma lo yamadti betum asi ela tavalti. I didn't remain Tomei, I went to the mitzvah.
If it was the day before,
I will Tumah Chadosh Machayev. But if it was a new Tumah, he'd have to be Chayev. My time, why the Kiyama Nami Tavalti Machayev? Because even if he says that terrible, he'd still be Chayev. Domila Edim Ashton Smasek, because the Edim are telling him, you just became Tomei right now. So that's the question. That's the question. So we'll leave the answer for tomorrow, Rav Hashem. The question is, what would the Chachamim say by Tumah Chadosh? If they're saying we always believe the guy when it comes to matters of Kapara, then even if the Edim are saying Tumah Chadosh, he knows the truth, whether he's Tomei. He knows whether he needs kapara or not. Therefore, if he says, I didn't, then it means that he really knows the truth and he's truly not. Okay, and therefore we would believe him, even against two agents. Because he's not going to play around with it. He's not going to play games with kapara. But if you say it's just a practical matter of a migri, then he has a migri in the one case and not the other.
I'm sure he's not going to say. He cannot have
kapara. Okay, He's not going to play around either way, the point. Okay. If we say that the reason why we believe him is because he's not going to play around with Kapara, he's not going to try to play games with Hashem, then it doesn't matter whether they told him you have a Tumah Yashana or Tumah Chadasha. Even though with Tumah Chadasha, there's no possible excuse that he would have to be able to say there's no possible migri, right? There's no possible thing that he could say to contradict them and still, you know, think about it. They're aging, right? He's one person against two aging.
Right.
Why does he have, according to the Chachamim, the ability to go against those two aging? Is it because we believe him more than them? Because he knows whether he's chayiv and kapara more than they do.
Right.
So if he's willing to say, I don't need kapara, then we have to take him at his word. Or is it just because he has a migri, and if it's Tumah Chadasha, he has no migri, because he can't say, I tell you all, because it wouldn't make a difference. In the second case, they wouldn't. That's the question. Why do the Chachamim what's the underlying reason that the Chachamim disagree with Rebbeinu? If it's based on Adam Namanal Asmai, then even in the case of Tumah Chadasha, what he says would have to be believed. But if the reason is because of Migri, then with Tumah Yashana we could believe him, but Tumah Chadasha we would not.
So
Tumah Chadasha, and therefore we would tell him, Tumah Chadasha, tough luck, go bring a carbon anyway.
So it has to be
We're asking the question, what are the Chachamim hold? We left the question open.
We know that they cannot hold by
Chachamim. No, we don't know anything like that. We know in the case of our Mishnah they disagree with the mayor, But in the case of our Mishnah, there's no Chadasha versus Yeshana. In the case of our Mishnah, both possibilities are possible. You could say because you believe him more than 180, because he doesn't play around with Kapara, or you could say because he had a Negus. In the case of Tumah, you can break those up, and you have a case where you have one but not the other. So therefore, which one do the Chachamim hold by?
That's what we need to know.